Hello, my name is Cheryl Cohen, and I'm the president of Arthritis Consumer Experts, or ACE. ACE provides education and training to people with arthritis. We also help to empower people living with all forms of arthritis to take control of their disease and to take action in healthcare and research decision making. I'm also a person living with rheumatoid arthritis. We're here today to talk about arthritis and work. This is the final Joint Health Podcast program of the series. And joining us today is Dr. Deanne Lacai. Dr. Lacai is Assistant Professor, Division of Rheumatology in the Department of Medicine at the University of British Columbia. She's also a research scientist at the Arthritis Research Center of Canada. Dr. Lacai is an award-winning researcher and frequent speaker at scientific meetings around the world and is a world authority on arthritis and work. We're pleased to have you with us, Dr. Lacai.
Well, the pleasure's mine.
Wonderful. So arthritis and work, it's a pretty massive topic. You don't open up the daily paper and read about research going on in this area, which I think is quite disappointing in that work is such a big part of our lives and there are a lot of people with arthritis. So clearly it's a problem, but yet we're not really aware of what some of the challenges are, just the big picture. So maybe we'll start with you explaining to us what's the big picture, what's the big knowledge around arthritis and work.
That's quite a big broad question. Yeah. Certainly we know that employment is a huge issue for people with arthritis. I mean, as you said, you know, work is a big part of our life. You can imagine someone living with pain and on a daily basis that and being tired from their arthritis that it would be hard to work. And that's what the data shows. It shows that it's a problem for people with arthritis when people have to rate what are different aspects of their life that they'd like to have more help with. Employment is a big one that comes up.
Yeah.
But we know that it's that arthritis and problems of bones and joint is the most common reason why people actually have to stop working, more than any other types of diseases.
Wow, that's pretty amazing.
We know, I mean, rheumatoid arthritis is probably one of the specific form of arthritis where we have a lot of data about, and we know that between a quarter and a half of people have to stop working within 10 years of getting arthritis. Now, you may think, well, 10 years, you know, that's quite a bit of time, but rheumatoid arthritis often strikes people at quite a young age when they're at the prime of their working life. So that's a lot of years lost from work.
Yeah, I know myself living with rheumatoid arthritis, I was diagnosed when I was 30. So to hear that 10 years later, I might not be working or I might not have been working had I not had appropriate treatment and a global treatment plan is pretty distressing.
Is. Yeah, 40 is pretty early to retire.
Yeah, I'm not going to divulge my real age.
No, of course not. And and the other thing is that it's not just so 10 years makes you think that okay, well, it's a down the line thing, but
right.
Actually, what all the studies shows is that people losing their ability to work starts really early on in the process of arthritis, right from the beginning, right from year one. It's just a gradual thing that there's more and more people that stop working because of their arthritis.
How else does arthritis impact people's work?
Well, you raise a good point. You know, we often talk about work disability, but really that's just a little part of the picture. Mm. There's so many other ways that it impacts people's ability to work. There's people who reduce their hours to part-time and they might like to work longer, more hours, sorry. There's the people that amounts of days that people miss either for their treatment or because of their disease. There's things like, you know, people using up all their vacation time because of their arthritis and then having no vacation time
right,
left.
Right, right. And if it's something you want, it's vacation time when you have arthritis.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's the last thing you need to be giving up.
Yeah.
And then, you know, there's not just also people losing work time. There's also people reporting that they're limited. I mean, more than three quarters of workers with arthritis report that they're limited in some ways in their ability to work. So this affects not only their well-being at the workplace, but also their productivity at work and what they're able to do. A lot of people report having to take more breaks during the day. having to change the nature or the type of work that they do, having to give up the job that they love because the demands of the jobs are too much.
Yeah.
Or people doing jobs that they're overqualified for because these jobs have less demand. So, you have to think of the impact in more subtle ways than just numbers and dollars.
Exactly. And I'm thinking that probably governments and employers are probably unaware of a lot of this.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
And then there's the more sort of hidden impact, like people that don't take on job promotions or don't take on extra responsibilities or don't take on new projects because they're afraid that they won't be able to handle it because of their arthritis.
Right. So there's no, I mean, the glass ceiling, so to speak, is their arthritis.
That's right.
It's not what other people may be facing, such as just not an open-minded employer who's willing to promote maybe a woman versus a man or whatever. It's the arthritis that is the ceiling.
That's right.
In terms of career advancement. That's fascinating.
And I think, another important thing is to think of not just look at the job in isolation of somebody's life. You have, your job occurs in the bigger context of your whole life, and
Absolutely.
People often forget that.
Yeah.
So there's also, looking at how being able to stay at work while having arthritis has impacted the rest of their life. One of the, I think, most striking thing I remember hearing from patients participating in some of my research was people saying that they had no life outside of their work because they'd given up gradually everything else in order to be able to stay at work. I mean, that's quite sad.
But I can tell you from firsthand experience, it's a reality for a lot of people.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Or, mothers with arthritis saying how sad they were that they would give up being able to do things with their kids on evenings and weekends because they just had no energy left at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Or the trade-offs. They give up being able to, other things they'd love to do as hobbies or other leisure activity to be able to stay working.
But that whole notion of self-satisfaction at work is a big one as well.
Definitely. And that's why people make those trade-offs.
Exactly, because they want to feel that sense of accomplishment, of achievement in the workplace, because a lot of times we don't actually get that at home.
That's
true. It's how we... Who brings in the buck and how big the buck is means a lot in today's society. And that may be good or bad, but I think it's reality.
But I think it's a lot more than just bucks.
Yeah,
I think
I agree.
It's really about a sense of self, a sense of identity, a sense of satisfaction. A lot of people, will want to remain at work, not for the salary that they bring in, but what it means for them and for their lives.
Yeah.
And I'm always really amazed looking at my patients with advanced rheumatoid arthritis, that they're still managing to work and that they're still hanging on, but it's just, it means so much to them.
Yeah.
And that's what people say, that it as difficult as it is to remain working, it is so important to them that they will do anything to stay at work. And it's all rheumatologists would tell you that, how impressed they are that how much it means to people to remain at work. And I think that's something important for employers to know.
Absolutely. I think that certainly the ability to cope with one's symptoms certainly spills over into the workplace, that you're coping all of the time to stay active and to stay doing the things that you love. You've described, I think, really well, at least from my perspective as a person living with the disease, some of the challenges that we as a public with arthritis face. What do you do to overcome? What have some of your patients done to overcome some of those challenges? What does the research tell us are sort of good ways of moving forward in terms of maintaining employment or even regaining employment for those who have lost their gainful employment?
I think people do a wide variety of things.
Right.
There's sort of no recipe cookbook type of because there's such a variety in the types of people's job, and there's such a variety in how arthritis affects people, and it's really the fit between the demands of your job and how your arthritis affects you.
Right.
Um, I, And, you know, people cope in different ways and choose different ways as of coping. But I think, you know, that sort of the first level of changes tend to be what we call job accommodations, which is the things that people do or that an employer can do to the job itself to better adapt it to the abilities of the worker.
Okay.
That's a bit of a lingo here, but yeah. I think that's an important thing for people to be aware of and to be thinking in terms of job accommodations. And I think people do it automatically and don't even realize that they do it.
Right, like moving. I mean, you're talking about something as simple as pulling the keyboard closer to them or lifting the computer screen up perhaps a bit higher such that they don't have neck pain or severe neck pain at the end of the day. So is that sort of what you're getting at when you're talking about accommodations?
I think, you know, you what the examples that you've given are definitely one type of accommodations,
yeah.
And those are sort of modifications, changes to the workstation, kind of what we call ergonomic modifications.
Okay.
So changing the ergonomics of your workplace, changing the so that it's better suited to someone with arthritis. So
right.
Changing the height of the chair, the height of the computer, you know, having a better a keyboard, etc. So that making sure that when you do your work, you're not putting any strain on any of your joints that are inflamed. And that's really important. And often, you know, people think, oh, ergonomic modifications, that's going to be costly. That's going to be a problem with my employer. But often it's really simple things like using a phone book to raise your screen so that it's at eye level and that you don't have to look down. You know, moving everything close to you so you don't have to reach out to get the things that you need. Putting a box under your feet so that your feet are nicely rested and at right your knees are at right angle, etc. So they don't have to be costly things.
Okay.
And it's often overlooked. People often don't think about those things. But there's actually good data to show that it does make a difference. We actually, in a study looking at risk factors for work loss in people with rheumatoid arthritis, we found that people who'd made changes to their workstation were 2.5 times less likely to have stopped working because of their arthritis.
So this is just as a direct result of changing, making a small tweak to their physical environment at work.
That's right.
Wow. And things that can be fairly cost effective.
That's right.
It's a matter of scrounging up an extra phone book.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, sometimes it may be more complicated than that,
of
but
course.
It doesn't have to be extensive changes. Now, you know, it's not so easy. It's easier said than done.
Sure.
But I think people have to be aware that in the workplace, there are often ergonomists that are available, and it's a matter of asking for an ergonomist to come and look at their workstation. Another option is many people with arthritis see occupational therapists. They'll often go over a variety of different functions and get help for doing a variety of activities, but they can also ask to have an assessment of their work. Now, a lot of people don't like having someone coming to their workplace because they may not have told their employer they have arthritis. They may not want to bring attention to their arthritis in the workplace. I mean, it's probably a more effective assessment to do it in the workplace. But if someone feels not comfortable with that, the assessment can be done with the occupational therapist at the occupational therapist by recreating the work environment and going over the work environment, taking pictures of their workstation and bringing that to the occupational therapist and discussing how their work site is arranged.
Or that's a good point, or perhaps bringing the ergonomist into the office before office hours after office hours. I mean, there's a variety of ways to sort of get around having to tell everybody in the office what your business is.
That's right.
Yeah.
I know, I think people have to think creatively.
Yeah.
And there are always creative solutions.
Yeah. Yeah. What other kinds of accommodations or kinds of solutions, just around physical accommodations before we move off that topic? Occupational therapists, I mean, as you say, these are people that specialists or healthcare providers that people with arthritis are already seeing. So perhaps when they're in the clinic visit with the occupational therapist, they could begin the series of questions that might come up for them around work and arthritis, rather than letting the sort of cart roll down the road in advance of the horses. You want to be in control.
Yes.
So start asking questions early on of your occupational therapy, perhaps?
Yes, I think, you know, the same way that you go over your difficulties with stairs at home and different activities at home, if your occupational therapist doesn't ask you whether you're having problems at work, you should definitely yourself bring it up. And if you recognize that you are having difficulties at work, then discuss it with your occupational therapist and try to identify what the problems are and think together of solutions. Yeah. And in fact, I would say you should do that with every one of your healthcare team member, because, see, the problem with work is that it's not a single person's responsibility. So it tends to fall through the cracks. So, you know, there's been very good data showing that most physicians don't ask about employment, and most healthcare professionals don't. So I think when you're being asked about, you having difficulty with stairs, with different things, well, say, yeah, but you know what, I'm also having difficulties at work. But often the person with arthritis thinks, oh, well, that's something I'm supposed to manage on my own, so not going to complain about this. They sort of take it upon themselves to problem solve on their own and don't realize that if they're having problems at work, they should be discussing it with their physician, with their occupational therapist, with their physical therapist, with all of the different members of the healthcare team that they see, because it's part of the impact of their arthritis on their life.
I think that's a very good point. And, you know, it's interesting. Sometimes we patients, people living with arthritis, we ask questions of our primary healthcare provider, which may be the family physician in the case of inflammatory arthritis. We may be visiting with our rheumatologist more. And there's so little time in the visit to talk about just your symptoms and what that healthcare provider is doing to help you manage the disease symptoms, let alone talk about work and exercise. But it reminds us all that if work is an important part of your life, it should be addressed at the same level of priority as dealing with, you know, a very difficult wrist, a very hot and swollen joint, that likely the things that are going on at work may be impacting on that or vice versa.
That's right.
So it's a really good point. What other kinds of solutions have you learned about by talking to people through your research, and what has that done to help you offer as an expert in arthritis and work direction to employers, to employees, to people living with arthritis? Is there, I guess I'm in a long-winded way trying to say, what other accommodations can be made?
Well, I think, you know, often the ergonomic is the first thing that people comes to mind. That's sort of the easy one. I think people have to go beyond that and sort of think about also what often gets forgotten is sort of the organization of the work. So there may be relatively, it's not always so simple, depends on your job, things like changing, can you plan your day? If you have enough flexibility in your job, can you plan your day differently to take your arthritis into consideration? Can you move around your tasks so that you can, if you're more, you have a lot of fatigue in the morning or stiffness in the morning, you do your easier things in the morning, and then you do the other things later on. Sort of the way that the work is usually organized, that just is just the way it happens to be done in the office because that's the way it is, and it's terribly inconvenient for people with arthritis. Well, you know, can that actually be changed? And it really be a problem if you open the mail in the afternoon rather than in the morning when your wrists aren't so sore, you know? Just sort of thinking, are there different ways you can organize your tasks so that you do the more difficult things at times when you feel better, or you break up the tasks that are causing you difficulty so you're not doing them over extended periods of time? You do it 5 minutes or 10 minutes at different times throughout the day, for example.
Right.
Can you, if the morning is often a difficult time for people with inflammatory arthritis because they're stiffer, they're often more in pain, they may be more tired. So can you start working later and stay later? That's another example of a job accommodation that you could ask of your employer.
Right.
Could you work from home sometime? Could you sort of sort of bunch together all the certain tasks in your week so that one day a week you didn't have to do the commute, because commuting is one of the big problems that people with arthritis have identified, that often by the time they get to work, they're like, a lot of their energy is gone because commuting was so difficult.
Exactly. And I think that some of these solutions that you're talking about are already being applied in the workplace. Telecommuting
Yes.
has been around for quite a number of years, and all we're talking about is applying it in a very effective way in the arthritis setting.
You know, what's really interesting is that people with arthritis often feel sort of singled out, and they sort of don't want to be asking anything because they think, well, you know, I don't want to have special favors made for me because of my arthritis. They're afraid that's going to cause friction.
Don't want to rock the boat.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But often, you know, you have to sort of recognize every person has individual needs for different reasons and different circumstances in their life. And that having sort of a flexible, open-minded approach to allowing people to organize their day according to their needs, well, your needs may be different, but other people have other needs for different reasons. And some of the solutions that are helpful for you may be helpful for others as well.
Yeah, it's funny when we have people who come to our workshops, our joint health workshops, we'll get the whole topic of work and arthritis is actually in the people that with arthritis that are coming to the workshops a black box.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't know how to approach the topic. They don't know how to begin a conversation, even with their own rheumatologist.
Mm-hmm.
We hear over and over and over again, well, I'm not really able to drive a truck anymore, and I'm a truck driver. And I say to them, well, did you explain to your rheumatologist exactly what things you need to do to be able to do physically, and how your treatment plan that you're lining up with that rheumatologist has to meet those needs? Did you specifically address how important driving that truck was with them? And I think that changes the conversation. I think when the person living with the disease actually says, this is important to me, so when we're making a plan, it better address this very important thing.
You're very right.
Yeah. It just seems to me to be something that we hear over and over and over again. And I guess towards that end, how does one have a conversation? I think it's probably easier with the physician because they're used to talking about maybe more difficult things with their physician. How do you begin talking to your fellow coworker, your employer, about the challenges you're having? Do you have a legal responsibility to disclose?
You're bringing up a very, very important topic that it's a really big issue. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is sort of, the minute you start talking about work and arthritis, it's the first thing, sort of the hidden monster.
Yes, yes.
Is this whole issue of do you tell your worker or your co-workers or your employer, not only do you tell or not tell, but how much do you tell? You know, do you tell them when most people are not necessarily maybe willing to state that they have arthritis, but do they necessarily want to talk about when they're having a bad day or when they're having a flare-up or the extent to which their arthritis is progressing? So it's a huge issue, the disclosure. And, you know, there's no black and white. There's no right or wrong. It's so much tailored to the individual person and their job situation and their arthritis. In terms of obligation, you're not actually obliged to tell that you have arthritis.
Okay.
Unless your arthritis is going to impact on your ability to perform the essential duties of your job.
Right. So in other words, you don't want to not disclose and then have your employer think that you're lazy or slacking off.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the trade-off. That's the constant balancing that you have to judge and juggle and decide when to tell. If your arthritis is not impacting your work, if you're in an interview and you know you can do all this, that you know, that they're telling you that the job is going to be about. You have no obligation to tell them that you have arthritis,
right.
And you're probably better off not, because who knows, it may impact your chance of getting hired.
And it is your business. It's your personal health, and it is your, it's your own privacy.
That's right.
Yeah.
But, you know, once it start, you're at a point where it is impacting things at work, trying to keep it hidden is, you just have to recognize that it has some impact, and you have to be recognizing that and weighing it. So if, you know, you have to make excuses for leaving to go to appointments, and then your boss is going to think that you're making up excuses,
right.
Then you're worse off. Or if you're, as you said, you know, your boss is going to think that you're being lazy because you're not accepting extra responsibilities, or you're leaving early, then it's going to actually affect you more negatively to not say it than to say that you have arthritis.
Right.
So, and the other big thing you have to realize is if you're preventing yourself from asking help that would help you do the job better, you're actually worse off not telling. You know, you can't get a job accommodation unless you tell your employer you have arthritis.
Right.
So I think once you start that it is feel that it is impacting your work, it's time to think about telling your employer. You don't have to sort of go in and disclose everything. You can be selective about what you disclose, the extent to which you disclose. You don't have to tell everybody. You can tell some people and not others. You also don't want your employer to find out from your coworkers. So you start telling your coworkers, it's probably time to tell your employer.
Okay, that's a very important point.
And, you know, the other thing is prepare before you go and tell, and sort of think about it, rehearse it at home. You know, if you're going to be emotional when you're going to start talking about it, you better have rehearsed it before so that you're comfortable when you tell your employer, so you're not nervous.
So in other words, prepare a little bit of a script for yourself.
That's a very good idea.
Yeah, just sort of say, okay, it's very important that I hit these bullet points and get through this. And that way I know I've disclosed just the right amount.
That's right.
In order to have a measure of transparency with my employer, and hopefully with that, support from the employer.
Yes, because you know you can't be receiving support if your employer doesn't know.
Right.
So it's that balance of disclosing enough so you have the employer can understand you and have empathy, but not scaring off your employer so that your employer doesn't think that you're not going to be able to perform your job afterwards. So you have to present balanced information.
Right.
You want empathy, but you don't want you don't want to paint too bleak a picture so that your employer is going to be concerned about your ability to continue working.
So,
and usually, you know, if you're going to present, usually you'll tell in the context of identifying a problem. And the other part of the preparation is always present a problem alongside with a solution.
Yeah.
So if you're, you know, going to say, I'm really having a problem with this task, well, think before you go in, what solution would you want from your employer to solve that problem? You know, employers like to be presented with a solution alongside a problem. So if you do it that way and find a solution that is not only good for you but good for others, and so do your homework before you go in.
I think that's just fantastic advice. Really, really good advice. The measure of disclosure that I gave at the time was that I'd been diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis. I actually handed them some information that I had been given by my rheumatologist. I asked for them to keep this confidential between the employer and myself, and I assured them that I would be taking as little time off at work as possible, but that I would need to go out for physician's appointments. I would try to make them at the very start of the day or the very end of the day such that it didn't interrupt my work schedule. So I tried to give my employer a measure of confidence that I was on top of it, even though it was obviously a very difficult period in my life. What I ended up doing was going to a part-time schedule with them, but working on contract. I made the same amount of money. It suited my arthritis much better. It was a much easier schedule to manage. And lo and behold, and this is going to be a leading a segue for you to talk about self-employment. I actually ended up taking that contract and then looking for other part-time contract or project-based work, and I ended up developing a marketing communications firm that did work in the area of expertise that I had, and it's been actually quite a rewarding experience for me. And I don't mean financially. Yes, I've been able to pay my bills, but it's just been so satisfying to actually give birth to a little something that's my own work endeavor. So can you maybe talk about self-employment a little bit?
I think you, again, bring a really excellent suggestion that often people overlook, because I think it can be intimidating for people to think of self-employment, because they're thinking, oh my, I have to deal with my disease and work, and you're going to give me all the responsibilities of running my own business. But when you think about it, self-employment really offers a lot of advantages to people with arthritis, because it just allows them more. It's the ultimate of flexibility, of being able to arrange and set your own hours according to your arthritis. It allows people to plan their workday according to their arthritis a lot better. People don't have to deal with difficult coworkers or inflexible employers.
Yeah.
They can choose a job that's less physically demanding, for example, or that is better suited to their arthritis. If you can do it from home, you don't have to commute. So it really sort of hits a lot of the challenges and the problems that people have with working with arthritis. There's not a lot of data on self-employment with arthritis. When we did a study looking at what were the risk factors for people with rheumatoid arthritis for becoming work disabled, we found that people who were self-employed were 6 times less likely to be work disabled than those who were working for someone.
Is that right?
Which is quite a striking finding. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
And then so we went on and said, okay, well, let's look into this a little bit more. And then we surveyed people that had arthritis who had been self-employed in the past to look at, okay, well, what is the experience of self-employment for people with arthritis? And we're very pleasantly surprised at how well people do in self-employment despite having arthritis.
Mm-hmm. Is there a type of person, though, with arthritis that self-employment best suits? Or did you not see any sort of characteristics that might be common amongst that group?
I think we sort of tried to look sort of for, are there sort of types of personalities?
Yeah.
I mean, there is sort of in the you know, self-employment's not for everybody.
Right.
I mean, you have to have the kind of work or skills or personality and situation in your life that you're able to undertake that. There wasn't sort of something that was particular to people with arthritis than sort of the general public that sort of made self-employment sort of better for them.
Okay.
But I think, you know, we have to recognize self-employment is not for everybody.
Right.
But I think people also have to realize, as the example of yourself, that self-employment doesn't necessarily mean running a business. You know, it doesn't mean opening your corner store.
Having inventory and all of that. Yeah.
Exactly. You know, that it can just be thinking, what skills do I have? And rather than working for someone else, can I contract it out? And that's becoming a much more popular form of self-employment, even outside of people with arthritis. And it just gives the person with arthritis the flexibility of also choosing your clients. So, you know, you can choose your clients so that you take the ones that are less demanding or that are going to give you more flexibility. You don't take the difficult
longer
clients.
Longer lead times on projects and such.
Yes.
As that.
Yeah. You know, that one of the things we sort of, the advice that came out of the people that had experience with self-employment was choose the type of job you do well, choose your clients well, be really, do a thorough appraisal of what the demands of your business are going to be and a very realistic appraisal of what you're able to do, and make sure it matches well and that you don't try to undertake more than you're able to. They also really suggested to make sure that you develop a support to help you. And if there's things that you either cannot do because of your arthritis or because it's too much, then you can contract that part. Don't think that you have to do it all.
Right.
So you can contract parts of the aspect of the self-employment that you're not able to do yourself.
Yeah.
There's a lot of different ways of doing it. But the striking thing was that people did just as well in their businesses as people that don't have arthritis. Their survivals of their businesses were just as good, if not better, than the general population, which I think is very encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
People's assessment of their self-employment experience was very positive. Even those who had that their businesses had stopped, the majority of said they would do it again or they'd want to try again. So it was very satisfying for them, and they rated their experience very positively.
Isn't that terrific?
So I think, you know, self-employment is something that people should sort of take note of and at least consider. And or if they're thinking about it, they should pursue it, look into it further.
Yeah, that's a fascinating topic, and just in and of itself. And I think this has been a really rich discussion, and I'd love to keep going. But in the time constraint that faces us, I think we'll wrap up there with the invitation for you to join us again to talk maybe a bit more in depth about some of the programs that I know you're actively working on in the area of arthritis and work. And we hope that you'll come back and share that work with us again soon.
Well, it was a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Lakai. And thanks to you, our Joint Health Podcast audience, for listening. As with all of ACE's programs and services, please keep in mind that the information provided in Joint Health Podcast is not medical advice, and ACE does not brand or promote any product or company. The information provided is to help you better understand arthritis and help you talk to your own rheumatologist or healthcare provider to make the best treatment decisions for yourself. Again, thank you for listening.